What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you to another edition of Meet Me and Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Redbird and AMedlock1 on Twitter. You know, last week when we recorded the show, we had just found out about the positive cases of COVID for the Cardinals, so we're kind of getting a feel for that. What turned out to be, well, it turned out to be a mess. And here we are, Thursday night, recording another show with no games in between. Alan, we kind of hoped that, you know, after we spent 3 months of no games and trying to do shows, we were kind of done with this, but I guess we had a practice in for when it really mattered.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's it's funny because we talked last week and thought, well, Saturday's probably going to be a no-go. Didn't make a lot of sense even when they said they were going to. And that even pushed the Sunday doubleheader possibility a little further down the road than you thought they could play. So none of the things that happened last weekend surprised me at all. You know, we were kind of riding the fence on it during the show last Friday anyway, whether these things would happen. The cancellation of the week, I guess, is probably safe. That made a lot of sense, and considering how they didn't even leave till yesterday to show up to St. Louis in the afternoon, you know, it says a lot about how these protocols are going to work and how thorough they're going to be on the testing and how many boxes you're going to have to check to be able to move along. And it kind of stinks because this probably will not be the last team that this happens to, so we'll probably have a week suspended for somebody else down the line. We hope it's not the Cardinals again, and we think that there's going to be extra precautions taking it so that won't happen. But this is probably the plan moving forward. You know, it may just probably won't be a game here or there, and maybe a week at a time, and hopefully they can limit it to where it doesn't affect the whole schedule, you know, almost like it did in the National League with this situation. So they're going to have to perfect it. They're going to have to perfect how quick they can get back on, get these tests in, and how they can limit the damage when these things happen to an entire team. So it's kind of stinks that it happened as the second team that it happened to being the Cardinals. But, you know, it was bound to, I feel like it was an if not win type situation.
Yeah, you know, I honestly wonder, I mean, it's baseball, right? If we get another team like this, isn't that three strikes and you should be out? I feel like hopefully there's not another one. I think that between the Cardinals and the Marlins, you know, the baseball has tightened up their restrictions. They've limited who can go on trips. They've limited various things. The Cardinals are even taking it to the next extreme, talking about how if you're not in the starting lineup, you're not in the dugout. There's not going to be any touching of anybody. Everybody's going to be wearing masks, and except for when they're playing. You know, all these things that probably should have been going on anyway. You know, I mean, because that's what we talked about before, right? We watch them on the field, and they were doing a lot of high fives, and they were doing a lot of, and I mean, not that I'm necessarily faulting them, but it wasn't the distancing and all that that we expected to see going into this. And you know, it's good to see them do it now, but it may be a little bit of barn door after the horses left. But, you know, we'll see. But I don't know. Part of me does feel like if they've tightened up everything, and baseball did tighten some things up this week after the Cardinals, if it happens again, I don't know. I think it's starting to get a little bit serious because, I mean, trying to make up games is difficult. The Cardinals have got their games scheduled. I just now seeing this, they've got these makeup games scheduled. We'll talk about that in a minute. But boy, if another team comes down with it, especially if it comes out like out west or something where we're just, you know, kind of moving around along, I mean, is there a point that it just feels like we can't be continuing to sit out teams for weeks?
I I do believe there is a point. I don't think we're close to it yet. I think that I get the feeling that they're going to do whatever they can to play this out. Sure. And that may even be with 29 teams. I don't know. I mean, I get the feeling that they're determined to do this. And they're going to follow protocol and protocol and protocol and you know, do their contact tracing and to see what hope to get their best idea of how this starts and where they can finish. So I don't know. That's, I felt like if they started, they're going to do their darndest to finish.
Yeah. And I think that's fair too. If they didn't cancel after the Marlins and then they didn't cancel after the Cardinals, you do, I mean, you do run that high risk, but then, I mean, boy, I don't know. I can't imagine how terrible it would be if a team that is, say, leading their division or a game behind in their division or a game out of the wild card comes down with cases in the last week, you know, where they can't make up those games. I mean, that's going to throw a whole lot of wrench in the works, but I mean, you can't really plan for that either. So I guess right now you do kind of just, you know, set them aside and hope that between the Marlins and the Cardinals, you've kind of gotten a feel for how to, you know, limit the damage. And I think, again, it feels like that's what the Cardinals did. There was a lot of rumors this week, we know, about players behaving badly, going to places they shouldn't have. And that doesn't seem to have been the case. That does not, it seems like, I can't really tell, but it sounds almost like maybe a family member or somebody, you know, passed it along unknowingly and moved from there. It doesn't sound like it was anything that the players did. I know Mike Schilt was very adamant about saying that he trusted that his players had done the right things. And from all they could tell, that's the case. But yeah, it's a, it just shows how dangerous it could be. And Mosellock said this week, hey, if we hadn't had the off day, this could have been even worse.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely true. That's, gosh, the uncertainty. I know everybody's tired of hearing about this that listens to the show, but man, that's just the worst part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very true. I mean, it could have been catastrophic. It could have been two teams, you know, that's kind of how, the Phillies fell into it, you know, is by, yeah, them playing the game where they shouldn't have. And they took that precaution in St. Louis to make sure that they didn't, but it still affected two teams.
Exactly. I mean, you know, because right, the Brewers had to sit, the Tigers had to sit this week. You know, they didn't sit for a whole week, but the Tigers had, you know, a home and home with the Cardinals that got wiped out. The Brewers had a whole weekend that was wiped out. You know, that's tough on them too, and that's even worse for them because they didn't even, you know, they had nothing to do with it. You know, it just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, I mean, we already know that this season is going to be a mess from all intents and purposes. I mean, there's just, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if any team actually avoids either having infections or being affected because somebody they played had infections. Or again, the Cubs are fine right now. They're going to play the Cardinals on Friday. That's going to be their first game back. Are they going to get, you know, they have to play this series. Oh, the Cardinals are still trying to find their footing. To some degree, they're affected in that way, although in a positive way, because, you know, in theory, gives them a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically coming off the All-Star break, which you it teams, you know, historically start slow, you know, right, that first series back. So it's yeah, this isn't who you wanted to see, you know, the hottest team in your division right away. And
who haven't been sitting out like the All-Star break.
Been playing through this. It's it is not the best situation, but like I said, none of it surprises me at all that these kind of things are happening.
No. So the Cardinals, and again, it could easily also have been worse. The Cardinals had 13 cases, but six of them are in the staff and in the traveling party. We know that the PR director, Brian Bartow, had it. Well, it was one of them. I don't know. We saw that the Cardinals called up a hitting coach, so we don't know if that's, you know, or if he's just filling in some spots. We don't really know who's. Maybe we can tell it, you know, when the cameras are on tomorrow night, maybe you can get an idea of what staff might not be there, but it doesn't really matter. The fact is there were still seven players that were affected. And, you know, you hate to use Yadier Molina, You hate to lose Paul DeJong, but if you're going to lose seven players from a team, the Cardinals did all right with that. They didn't lose Jack Flaherty. They didn't lose Paul Goldschmidt. They didn't lose Colton Wong. They could have lost, you know, like their whole infield or something like that. They didn't lose a single outfielder, which is going to be an issue we'll talk about in a minute. Everybody's talking about Dylan Carlson. But, you know, for the fact that they lost seven players, and again, you don't want to lose these players. For the first thing, you hope everybody's going to be healthy. It sounds like most people don't have any symptoms. A few did, and hopefully they'll get over it fairly quickly. It's still going to be a week or so before we see them back on the field. Except for, you know, Yadi and DeJong, everybody was fairly replaceable.
Yeah, it was funny. I don't know why. Whenever we got the – when we had the idea that it was the Saxton tweet, Mark Saxton's tweet, about the level of player that was – and that may even be a poor choice of words – of that had been infected and that would be tough to replace. I immediately went to Molina when I thought about it. And I was like, I think the wording speaks volumes on how this works. So when the word leaked that it was Molina, I wasn't really surprised. And then you hear DeJong and you're thinking, well, that's, you know, those are two huge portions of our offense. One, you think probably the two people that you probably think defensively are the toughest to replace next to Wong. Mm-hmm. And they're in a huge part of your lineup at this point. And but yeah, you're right. I mean, it feels like it could have been much worse. People will argue that I don't know how could it be worse, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it could have. We're gonna see some extended play and some interesting situations. I was worried they were gonna be really short at shortstop. Without Sosa and DeJong, but we're going to get an extended look of Edmund there, which helps. And I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how things work out this first weekend or this next, you know, 7 to 10 days. The results may not be what we want, but sometimes you'd be surprised. You know, I mean, look what's going on in Florida, you know, type of situation, or in Miami. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of excited to see that. And I'm hoping that I'm still saying this when we record our next show, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that is going to be, you know, the good thing is with Molina, I mean, it's again, they're not replaceable, but for a week, 10 days, maybe it may be longer. We don't know how. Yeah. It really depends on, you know, when they can test negative and then how they can build their strength back up to get to playing, which, you know, if it's Yadi, he's probably, if Yadi doesn't have symptoms, Yadi's probably going to be ready to go as soon as he can get off the list. But, you know, if you have to run Matt Wieters and Andrew Kisner for a week to 10 days, that's not terrible. Like you said, you get a chance to see Kisner. We'll see who gets to play more. But Wieters is a capable backup. We saw that last year. It's not where you have to, you know, it's not what 3 years ago or so where you had to run Tony Pena or somebody of that nature out there for an extended period of time, because that's not good. If you have to run Wieters and Kisner, you're all right. And as for shortstop, well, I mean, it doesn't work. I mean, you've got Edmund moving over there, and then you've got, what, you think Carpenter's going back to third base and they're going to DH somebody?
I would assume that you're going to probably see a DH third base split between Miller and Carpenter.
Yeah, that may be. And of course, there's still a lot of questions around Brad Miller. He's off the IL, but, you know, we didn't see him a lot in spring, and we haven't seen him at all this year. It just remains to be seen what the Cardinals are going to get there. But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, again, if it's DeJong, you hate to lose the power that's there, but we know last year was had a lot of strikeouts and low batting average. So, I mean, not that he wasn't a valuable part of this team, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't perfect. It wasn't, you know, and you know, of course you can't really take anything from what we've seen already in five games this year. So I don't really want to get into those, but, you'd rather him not be gone, but, you know, again, for a limited period of time, I think you can replace him, especially with, you know, you're not really losing. And, you know, you're keeping Edmund in the lineup, you're keeping Carpenter in the lineup, and then you may be adding Brad Miller. So you may be replacing him with Brad Miller, and if Miller looks like he did last year, it's not a huge drop off. It's a drop off, but it's not a huge one.
Yeah, and you know, keep your head above water, win a few games, win a few series, and you may be right there too. And I'm still more excited to see. I love DeYoung. I love Molina. It's gonna stink that not having them in the lineup, but there is an interest to me to see these guys play, and an interest in seeing things a little bit differently. You know, that's I hope that makes sense. But yeah, that's it. I'm excited to see the lineup tomorrow. I mean, let's see where O'Neill's playing or hitting, where Miller is, and it may be like we're watching a different team in a Cardinals uniform tomorrow night.
Yeah. Now the Cardinals they also caught a little bit of a break in the fact that they had 30 men on the roster, and then today, I think, is it today or tomorrow, whichever, that they cut down to 28, which MLB changed to 28 for the rest of the year. It's just, you know, instead of going down to 26 like it was supposed to. Mm-hmm. And so the Cardinals didn't have to fill as many spots to be even. So they call up Brad Miller, they activate Brad Miller. They call up Alex Reyes and Genesis Cabrera, who, again, no big surprises there. They were guys that were knocking on the door anyway, guys that had a chance in a regular year to have made the team. And Cabrera might have, if he hadn't have been, hadn't tested positive in camp. So there's those three. Max Schrock, who was already on the taxi squad, gets added to the 40-man roster, and will be that infield, you know, insurance policy. And then Roel Ramirez is the one I think that none of us really saw coming, right? I mean, that was a name that honestly kind of forgotten about. He came over in the Tommy Pham trade. Never really expected much out of him. I didn't realize, I don't think, that he was in the player pool. Interesting to see them call up that. And how do you think that's going to – how is he going to work into this mix, or is he just insurance?
Gosh, it beats me just because I don't feel like I know enough to stay one way or the other. With Kim going back into the rotation or moving into the rotation, that leaves that potential closer spot where you can build your bullpen from the back up to where we would have a better idea. I really don't know. I mean, I don't know what the plans are on these guys. I don't know who slots in where. I feel like there's a way that they've wanted to get Helsley into that closer spot from the beginning, and this is the way that they've decided to do it. And then from there on out, you're looking to get outs. Miller's probably going to be a long man still, of course, or specialist, however they want to use him. I think we've been oversold on Miller, a guy that I really like, but I get it. I think he's miscast sometimes. And then Gomber is your long man, who's kind of on the outside looking in. But ultimately, he's probably going to have to take a start, wouldn't you think? There could be a six-man rotation realistically soon just because of the doubleheaders and the innings that these guys are going to have to eat up. So really, I mean, everything's on the table right now, I would have to think.
The Cardinals do not get a day off until August 27th now, because the day off they were supposed to get – well, actually, the day they were supposed to be in Iowa – they moved the White Sox game to the day after, which was an off day. And that 13th is going to be makeup of the two of the Tiger games, both of the Tiger games that they'll be playing in Detroit. So, yeah, I mean, somebody's going to have to take a start there. There's not any days off until down here. While everybody on the rotation could be fine, you may want to throw a Gomber in there to kind of space things out or get a favorable matchup against the Cubs or whoever the case may be. And then you get into September, and boy, September is going to be an interesting one. They'll have one day off in September. They'll have a September 3rd off. The 10th will have the doubleheader of the makeups with the Tigers. And the 14th will have a doubleheader with the Brewers. The 16th, I mean, there's a 5-game series.
Yeah.
14th to the 16th of Brewers, 2 doubleheaders and a single game in between. Uh-huh. And then you have 2-game doubleheader on the 25th, one of which has the Brewers as the home team, even though it's in Busch Stadium. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you get from the, from the 10th to the 27th, which is the end of the season, it's, you know, what is that, 17 days? So there's 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 21 games in 17 days. I mean, boy, if this team makes the playoffs, they're going to be so worn out when they get there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, that was my biggest concern about the 7-game makeup is like, you're going to have to just fill this in on off days. And when you're at the other opponent, and yeah, which you made Detroit impossible. So you were going to have to fill that in. So yeah, as much as we wanted to see the doubleheaders, it's going to be debilitating to a pitching staff. That's, you know, the 28 man is going to help, but whew, man, that's going to be a tough haul toward the end of the season.
Yeah. At least the benefit is they do get to call up, and just like they always do, they get to call up that extra guy. So they'll have 29 men for those doubleheader days and then have to send somebody down after that. But yeah. So basically, if I'm right, there are two off days left in this season. They're a week ahead of spaced apart from each other, 27th of August, 3rd of September. So we're going to, assuming everybody stays healthy, and you got to hope for no rain, right? I mean, you can't have any rainouts from now on, right? Because I trying to make up a rainout in this mess, you know, I wouldn't want to do it. But if there's no rain and everybody stays healthy, we're going to have a lot of Cardinal baseball between now and the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to, it's definitely going to be a sprint, more so than we've heard already. It's going to be a crazy finish.
Yeah. The problem is, I guess Milwaukee the only team with a roof in the Central? In both Centrals, I mean? They are, aren't they?
I would think, yeah.
So, you are a little bit at the elements. You know, good thing August is probably usually going to be dry, but, man, I mean, you get into September, and you know how September can kind of be as the weather starts to change. You know, if you get some rainouts there where you're already having all those doubleheaders, I don't want to think about that.
But yeah.
Anyway, we'll shift back to the people. You know, again, like you pointed out, KK is going to slide into the rotation because of Carlos Martinez being one of the ones that was infected. Were you a little surprised at that they went with KK instead of a Gomber? Or, you know, I guess that's probably the only other real option. Jake Woodford's on there, but I don't think they would start him. So it really got, I guess it came down to probably KK, Gomber, technically Helsley if they wanted to extend him, but obviously that's not an issue.
And yeah, and that it's funny. I feel like I said, I feel like they've had Helsley slotted into that closer spot from the time that that Hicks left. That it can, and I felt like that was in the process before COVID was even an issue, you know, when we were in St. Louis and, you know, Helsley was the second name behind Hicks that Mo had mentioned as closing candidates and coming through the system or hard throwing candidates and whatnot. And I felt like that's kind of the direction they wanted to go with that. Yeah, I would like to know, and it may be out there, I don't know, of why they chose Kim to start over Gomber, especially as effective as Gomber has been through spring and, well, Kim was as well. So, but I'm not sure what the mindset was on that. It makes a lot of sense. They signed him as a starter or possibly that long man then to put him in as the closer. I can kind of see some of the merit behind that just because there's going to be a little bit of mystery behind him early. But I think that they may see that play out a little better in the rotation than it has been in the back end of game since he hasn't basically been utilized that much.
Well, I mean, so, yeah.
You know, so that's I would like to hear some of that. I'm sure that you know, we will hear those things as we go throughout the rest of the season. But yeah, it did a little bit because I kept thinking that Gomber was the shoe-in. Like there was a little bit of surprise that Ponce de Leon received that spot over Gomber to me. But you know, I wasn't really sure why, or it, like I said, it may be out there and I just haven't read it, but yeah, then it kind of skipped over him again. So, you know, I don't know. Do you remember when Gomber was making his way up through the minors and he kind of got earmarked as a guy that could be pretty lethal as a lefty out of the bullpen? I remember that talk. And then you'd come in, he started and pitched well in that run toward the end of the season a couple of years ago. And been pitched well as a starter in Memphis, you know, up until last year when he battled injuries. So, you know, that may play a part of it too. I don't know.
Yeah, and it feels like, I don't know why, maybe I'm misremembering as well, but it feels like there were times where it felt like the Cardinals should promote Gomber and they didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, and there was even last year where he was hurt, but he was doing his rehab, and then they didn't bring him up after the rehab, I guess, because I think their indication was maybe he had pitched too many innings already, or I don't know, but it was there seemed to be something that you would have thought that maybe he would have come up. So I don't know. Maybe they're still trying to figure out. I don't think there's any organizational bias against Gomber that I could tell. But, you know, they do seem to be maybe trying to figure out exactly how to use him. Now, you know, again, having these kind of guys, and I guess, you know, we said it was Kim versus Gomber, which is probably true, but you're called up Reyes and Cabrera. I mean, both of those guys are starter guys that, you know, still probably need to build up some strength. So maybe that's why they didn't go there. But, you know, you've got four guys right there that are going to be able to go long innings. So, you know, if Kim starts and goes three and then you go to Gomber for two or even three, you know, maybe you can get through games like that. Because it does feel like there's going to be a lot more of those multi-inning.
Especially now. I agree with that.
Yeah. And I mean, I want to pull that roster up and look again, but feels like there's a lot of those. I mean, Cabrera's a guy like that. Gant can pitch a couple of innings. Gomber,
yeah,
you know, Helsley could. Although it does, like you said, it does feel like they're kind of earmarking him for the late innings. And Reyes and Woodford. So, I mean, you got a lot of guys in that bullpen that can pitch two, three innings without real issue because they've been starters or in the recent past.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I think they're high on Whitley and probably should be right now. And that whenever he comes back, hopefully he's one of the 7-day, you know, non-symptom, asymptomatic guys, because that could be pretty lethal. And you know what? I would love, like I said, for once, I wish that the luck would fall to Reyes in some way. Instead of having all the bad luck for the last 3 years, I wish something would happen to where he would have good starts or have a chance to start, or, you know, somewhere along the way. And I hope this is something that is actually a positive when it comes to Alex Reyes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good chance that even in this shortened, crazy season, Alex Reyes will pitch more innings than he ever has before at the major league level, because he's only pitched 46. It might be pushing it to get there, depending on how they use him. But he could, yeah, especially if he gets some starts here and there. And if nothing else, even if he gets over, I think it's, what's the next, like four? I think four is his next one. So, you know, if he pitches five innings this year, it's like his second best outing in the major.
Yeah.
That's weird. I mean, that's so weird to think that when he's like all the way to 2016. But you're right. Hopefully this is a chance that, you know, when everything else is going wrong, maybe finally something will go right for Alex Reyes.
Yeah, I would love to see it. I mean, that's, you know, I'd pull for him probably as much, if not more, than most Cardinals. So I'd love to see him catch a break somewhere.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, is the Cardinals have actually not been buried in this time that they've been sitting out? They're sitting at 2-3, which tells you a lot of nothing, but games behind, if you want to look at it that way, they're tied for second with the Brewers. They're both 4.5 games behind the Cubs going into play on Thursday night, and the Cubs were losing. So the Cardinals will at least gain half a game there. So they'll be 4 games out, I guess, when the Cubs come to town. I don't know. I mean, what do we think? I mean, is it going to be? It feels like this team is still a team that can do well, but how long till they get their feet underneath them and figure that out?
Gosh, that's the scary part. And I thought that right when the weekend series was demolished, and you knew that Detroit was probably not going to happen, and they announced that fairly early anyway.
Yeah.
I was thinking, okay, we may not have to. even look at results here for a little while. Let's just make sure they get back on the field and kind of go from there. And then you see the Cubs keep winning and teams keep winning and the Rockies are darn good. And you're thinking, man, the National League could be tough. I still, even saying all that and taking into account the Hudson start, the Ponce de Leon start, the Martinez start, I still feel like the Cardinals have the pitching to be right in the mix with things whenever they get their legs back underneath them. Winning a series this weekend may go a long way to that. That may be asking a lot. I don't feel like – I understand they're thinking long-term here with the Flaherty move and it, with Ponce starting, you know, Friday. And that makes a lot of sense that you and I were talking before the show about he had the most recent outing, so it may be the most ready. I kind of liked – before they made those changes, going with presumably your best three to pitch at Busch and try to get a series win and get things rolling. I think that they may be thinking long-term on that as well, you know, for Flaherty health. So hopefully we see him at some point this weekend. But I think that they're going to be in the mix due to pitching alone. And that's, yeah, think about it. I mean, there hasn't really been a batted eye about Martinez not being in the rotation after one start again. Well, we understand why, but right. That's their depth as well. You know, we have so much, and we're kind of arguing that Gomber maybe deserves more than he's gotten, and that says a lot. So I'm maybe the optimist in me is still saying that they will be in the mix with this pitching alone. There's something in the back of my mind that keeps thinking I probably wouldn't set expectations high because it's such a long haul, but due to schedule and getting everything back going and the potential for injury. So, you know, I don't know, but I'm still pretty positive they'll be there in the end.
Cubs are getting beat 12-0 right now by the Royals. So maybe they're not invincible after all. It's a good thing. You look at the schedule though. You're right. If you can hold your own somehow, get your feet under, against the Cubs, you get three with the Pirates, who have not been good, and one of the few teams the Cardinals have actually seen already. You get that doubleheader with the Tigers, who actually have been playing pretty well, although down to 500 ball team right now. Then you get the White Sox for three, who, again, kind of nobody's just running away with it except for the Cubs. So, you know, I think that you got, you know, the Reds have struggled a little bit, and they're coming up soon. You're right. I think that if this team can play like they were, and you know, and there's not an extended loss of Yadier Molina, Paul DeJong, Carlos Martinez. I mean, you're right. If those guys can come back, if you can do well without them, and then they add them back into the mix, then you're really looking like something. It's going to be interesting. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, you said you were interested to see what the lineup was going to be tomorrow. What do you think it's going to look like?
I think you'll probably, you know, you no changes in the top three, of course. You'll go Wong, Edmund, Goldschmidt. I'm going to guess you'll go with O'Neill.
Yeah, probably. Up,
then you'll probably go with Carpenter/ Miller. And then probably, yeah, but Carpenter/Miller probably. And then you'll go
Weeders.
Yeah, probably Weeders, and then you know, maybe Fowler, Weeders, Bader. I think they kind of want to keep some wheels in front of Bader, so it may go Weeders, Fowler, Bader. So yeah, somewhere in that, something like that. Is there any? Does Lester go tomorrow?
I was about to pull that up because I know there was a tweet out there. That indicated what people had done against.
Yeah.
Yes, he is pitching tomorrow.
Do we see Thomas and Spud in front of Fowler tomorrow?
I think you probably should see Thomas in front of somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I didn't look at the numbers to check, but it may be. If it's not Thomas, if it's not Fowler, it's Bader.
But hasn't Bader historically hit lefties well? I think they're going to give him every opportunity to succeed. That's the way that's why I keep thinking that he'll be in the lineup.
Yeah, but I think that last year he didn't. I think
kind of exposed.
That it was. I want to say that I remember people talking about the fact that the broadcast said he hits lefties well, and then they pointed out that he doesn't as much. let me pull up Bader's splits from last year real quick. Against lefties, yeah, he hit 177 against lefties last year, which was worse than he hit against righties. So
that was my next question.
Yeah, it was. And his OPS was a 640. So yeah, he's not any better than hitting, you know, he's not hitting against anybody, period. And it makes me, I mean, honestly, I didn't look to see what Fowler was doing against him, but I would put Thomas in there and let Fowler figure it out, or
Dean play. That's what I was getting ready to say. I think that may be the one that we're overlooking a little bit, and that may be in place of Miller. I keep thinking Miller's going to play third base, and they want Carpenter to focus on hitting right now. But I don't think they worry about him playing third, but I do think they want him to focus as, you know, being in the middle of the lineup guy. But I do feel like Dean may get a shot tomorrow, especially if Lester's going.
You know, the problem with playing Miller at third right now is just that he's been out back injury, right? I mean, you just don't know how flexible he's going to be at that position. Not that he can't play it, and not that Matt Carpenter's, you know, some sort of gold glove candidate or anything like that. But I don't see one of the two are going to play it. I mean, you're not going to put Max Schrock out there with everybody else that's out in the lineup, I don't think, to play third base, even though he probably could. I was interested in seeing if they would bring up Alaris Montero third because on the 40-man roster. And I wonder if they would have if they'd still been at 30. When it went to 28, there wasn't that much kind of a need for him. But I would have liked to seen them give him a little bit of a run. And again,
I agree with that.
Yeah, and it may be also, though, you don't want to throw – and this is get us into the Dylan Carlson discussion perhaps too. You don't want to throw a rookie in to a tough situation, and you don't want to throw a rookie into a situation where they haven't. I mean, these guys at Springfield have only been taking batting practice, which is probably more than what the main team's done this week, but still, they haven't played against anybody yet. And then you throw them up against the Cubs in a big series. Maybe they didn't want to go that route with him. But there wasn't ever any real talk about it either. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing there.
Yeah, and I thought that in your post this week that made a lot of sense. That's one of those where I kind of wish that you could give a guy like Montero, you know, a 4-5 game run until someone's back to see what he can do and just to play and be that mainstay and not have so many moving parts. I feel like so many moving parts, I think that affects you defensively so much. You know, that's why I kind of like the idea of Edmund being your everyday shortstop until one of the two get back. Because in another situation, you would have loved to have seen Sosa get a chance to finally show, you know, because he's not ever going to get a long look, you know, with the young. And this is one of those opportunities where you're like, hey, if he can take it and run with it, you may have something there. And you kind of think the same thing may happen with Montero a little bit. You're right. It may be due to activity. Now, he is a former positive COVID test, right? He was a late.
Yeah,
that's right. So that's, you know, he may not. That may have played into it a little bit. And
point. I forgot about that.
No. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's some of the things that I'm excited to see. I mean, I know that there was some disappointed promotions, you know, that were made, and I know that we're going to get there, and I've got a statement I want to make so bad, but I kind of want to wait till we get into the Carlson situation.
Well, I mean, I was about to go ahead, so yeah. if you want to make the transition, go right ahead.
Here's the thing, and it's I thought about this from the beginning, and I understand that the ramifications of what I'm about to say probably goes way over my head of things that could actually happen why they didn't do it. But in a 60-game season, do you kind of wish there was a moratorium on the 40-man roster a little bit to where it's a shortened – it's basically a long spring training. It's sold as a sprint and not a marathon. And I know that there's obvious ramifications that I just don't understand, you know, that like I said, that are just over my head and I don't get. But shouldn't baseball be promoting some of these Carlsons and some of the other guys – right now, wouldn't it have been a perfect situation to be able to do this to where it doesn't account yeah, against their number and things like that. I mean, I would love to have seen that, to where teams weren't hamstrung by the 40 man so much in a shortened season, and a season as weird as what we're going to see.
I think that's fair. And I mean, if there were no 40 man ramifications, would they have brought Carlson up? I think it's a better chance. Yeah. I'm still not 100% sure though that they will.
I was going to add that I'm not completely certain that that was the case. I do know they want to get these other guys at bats, and I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know what, if you're like, hey, we've just been out a week, let's roll the dice and let's see if we can light a fire real quick. That would have been a pretty cool move, but you're just like, is it worth it, you know, to start a clock now, you know, type deal. I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, I know Jason Hill over at Viva Alberto's has been beating the Carlson drum quite heavily over the last couple of days on Twitter. And he's got a pretty solid plan of how they could rotate starts and everybody would get a reasonable look and things of that nature. And I don't doubt that that's a possibility. But, you know, one, I think the Cardinals, one, the idea of bringing him up in such a weird situation and not it maybe putting a little too much pressure on him. Like right now, if he came up with half the, you know, with some of the bigger hitters out of the lineup and at a lineup that was already struggling, there would be a lot of pressure on him. And if he comes out and hits 150, you know, in his first run, then, you know, how does that go? Because I think the Cardinals try to factor in some of those intangible things of, is the guy, are they going to be in the best position to succeed?
Sure.
And I don't know that they feel that way. And again, it's hard to say, okay, you have five outfielders, none of them got six, so we're going to promote a sixth one. I mean, I could see, sure, I know that you can make it work, but it's difficult to see that there's a real rationale for that. You know, will we see Carlson sometime this year? Probably. I feel like it's probably, but it's, again, it's one of those situations where he comes up, he's staying up. They don't really want to send him back down to Springfield. And so it may be a thing where he gets called up on closer to September, especially with that, you know, run. And then you got to find, I mean, that's the other thing. You've got to find room for him. We've just got 28 man rosters and, you know, you could cut Austin Dean, but we haven't seen what he does yet. I mean, send him down, I guess. I think he's still got options. So, you know, maybe you find the room that way. I don't know. I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm not saying that there's some sort of huge hoops to jump through, but I think the Cardinals are weighing a lot of this stuff, and there's a lot of issues on one side over the possibility, not guarantee, of what he would bring. I'd like to see him come up, obviously, but I'm not saying that this is a manipulation of service time, which is what a lot of people seem to be, because again, that he'd probably already be up by now if it was the case. And two, I think there's more to it than what we can see. And maybe that's something we should have asked Mo last week when we talked to him before everything broke loose. But I think that they're weighing some stuff that maybe we don't see. So
sure.
I think he'll be up at some point in time, but I was not surprised that he was not coming up here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I wasn't either. I mean, just because I thought like the only way that would happen was if multiple outfielders had been affected by this, which wasn't the case, you know, one of those deals. But I think a lot of people, they maybe want to see it for the spark or the fact that an 0 for 8 out of Carlson is so much more acceptable right now than an 0 for 8 out of Bader. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, yeah. We've seen this. That's I think a lot of people have lost faith right now. And that plays a part in it. And then you add the urgency of the season, and that compounds the stress on it. You know, and I did wonder all along, how are the Cardinals willing to lose their discipline in a season like this? And I just didn't think they were. And I kind of feel like I'm right on that. I just don't feel like they're going to pull a trigger as much as we thought they would. Now, during gameplay, I feel like Schulte is. I don't think it's an organization they're going to as far as the movement around.
No, I agree. They are very proud of their ability to stay disciplined. I think we saw that. We really saw that last year at the Detroit deadline, assuming that Harrison Bader for Zach Wheeler type of deal was legitimate. I think we saw that very much so, that they were going to stick with what they what their plan was, whether it was working or not, I guess, to some degree. But yeah, I think you're right. I think that they're not going to let this really change a lot of what their long-term plan is here.
Yeah, a lot of it seems like we are going to squeeze every bit of juice out of the 6 years we have you, you know, type situation. That's kind of what I felt last year, you know, saying that may say a lot about whether why Carlson hadn't been up as well. But that kind of sounds conspiracy theory, and that's not it. I agree with you. I feel like there's things behind the scenes that we don't see of why they haven't done it.
And I mean, there is some argument there that, you know, again, you can argue, and rightly so, that the system is not really designed great and that there should be changes to it. But the argument, again, is if the system is the way it is, then maybe you would rather get, you know, a full year out of Dylan Carlson rather than, you know, a month, which counts as half a year or whatever the case, you know, however the translations work out. You know, again, it probably doesn't matter because you get to the, you know, where you get to the time where he's a free agent. But I think there's some value perhaps to letting him, you know, be a starter and letting go. Now, they could have done that this year. They could have had him just be the starter, but they had to see some of these other guys first. And again, I know, like I said, Jason's got this good rotation system, and I think there's value there. But I also think the Cardinals value a guy that could stay, you know, given a guy a week, 10 days of just straight out run, right? I mean, they want a fairly consistent lineup out there for a long period of time to get the most data they can before they make some changes. They're not changing every 2 or 3 days. Not doing a whole lot of changes on, depending on matchups, I don't think either. It didn't feel like, or we haven't seen that this year. Not as much. I mean, when you think back to the Tony La Russa days when the lineup was never the same, that's not what this is now. And so I think that they're not ones to say, okay, Fowler's going to play this game and then he's going to play that game. He's going to take off that game and he's going to play this game and he's going to take off. They want him to play. And that doesn't necessarily help with Carlson when they're trying to get an idea of, you know, letting Tyler O'Neill play, trying to see if they can get something out of Bader or maybe something out of Thomas, and Fowler's going to play with that contract and something like that. So it all boils down. There's a lot of different variables, and again, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, I think that it makes some sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's one of those to where even I would love to see that just because of the change, just to give a guy a complete run and take hold of it. And I feel like O'Neill is the guy that has been given that opportunity and probably run with it now. I mean, he's probably the most stable in the outfield right now, other than the contract situation with Fowler. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I would love to see that. It's exciting to see that. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's just such an odd situation year-wise that we thought things may change a little bit, and just they don't seem to have happened. I thought Ben Fredrickson had a great tweet earlier today, and it was something along the lines of he wanted to see sizzle over stubbornness, but they've decided to stay stubborn, where sizzle may have been nice to see, you know, in regards to Carlson. And I thought that made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, we always want them to make the big move, to make the big splash, to make the exciting thing. And the club is pretty consistent with, we're going to do what works for us. And for the most part, it has. I think there's a lot of times where there are moves, especially when you're looking at trades or signings that the club, the Cardinals fan base might have wanted, that wouldn't have worked out so well long-term. Now there's some moves that they could have made, like Luis Robert, that probably would have worked quite well, it seems like. And,
I think about that all the time now. And a guy that plays on my men's league team, he's a big White Sox fan. Why? I'm assuming it's from the Frank Thomas days and one of those deals. Maybe even Ventura, I don't know. But, you know, it was funny because Robert was kind of an afterthought to those guys. you know, and it's maybe it's more of the passing fandom, you know, because I don't think they follow it as well as we, the guys that listen to us or you and I, and know the roster and know some of the Cuban makeup with him and whatnot. But, you know, it's one of those to where he kind of feels like he's shooting out of a cannon like Puig did. And that could be a big selling point. And that's something that the Cardinals would miss. I mean, that's that stars kind of seemed to fade with Puig a little bit. He got in his own way. But, man, the talent's there. I mean, look at Cespedes as well. And you kind of feel like he's kind of in that same ilk. And that's middle of the order athlete bat. And those are tough to replace.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And, again, we had a blogger day not terribly long, I think, after Robert signed with the White Sox. And, you know, I think there was some financial issues, but it also, you know, I think Mo kind of indicated that he really wanted to play for the White Sox, too. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that they couldn't have done enough financially to, you know, make him decide that he'd take all the money. But I think there was, all things being equal, he was going to the White Sox. And they had the option to not make it equal, and they didn't. And I think they were going to kind of regret that one.
Well, but, and you know what? I think when players talk, that speaks volumes. And I think Jose Abreu's been overlooked in that a little bit.
Yeah, but then, you know, that was the whole – it felt like the whole reason the Cardinals got Adolis Garcia is because he was a friend of his as well. So that didn't have the full. But, of course, Abreu was in the major league team.
Yeah, I don't know why. You can just read between the lines of his leadership with those Latin players.
Yeah.
You know, that's – because, I mean, he's been a free agent twice. And there was really no thought that he would leave the White Sox. And I feel like there's some intangibles in that have made a big difference in who they bring in.
Two quick things about the Cubs. One, they're losing now 13-0 because Kimbrel has given up another run, who's got a 23.
I can tell you, they are really fed up with Kimbrel, even in their this hot start.
Two, the Cubs have yet to play, not to beat, yet to play anybody that's been over 500. So they're kind of beaten up on the soft part of their schedule. And after the loss tonight, their run differential, assuming it holds the way it is now, will be only like a +5. So, I mean, then this early in the year, it doesn't take but one big old loss to make and make things look a little bit worse than they are. So, you know, maybe we cannot necessarily hand the Cubs the 2020 title just yet, but it's still going to be a bit of a challenge.
With you saying that, a series win for the Cardinals this weekend, that could go a long way. You know, to kick the season off, and then I put a little bit of doubt in the Cubs' mind that, you know, that it's just one series, but they haven't played in a week.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the Cardinals come out, you're right. Win 2 out of 3 of that. And then the Cubs get an off day and they go play the Indians for 2, which is a little bit tougher competition.
I feel like the Indians
are good. The Cardinals are playing the Pirates. So, you know, the Cardinals could make up some ground quickly if they could do some stuff this time. And then, of course, you know, they play again in Wrigley Field in a week from Monday. So part of this schedule is the fact you're going to face the people in your division a lot, and you've got a lot to say about it. So if the Cardinals can play well, they've got a good chance to put this behind them. And I know it's going to be tough with all the doubleheaders and the no days off, but hopefully they can manage. The other thing that I saw, I didn't realize until just now, Jeff Jones put it out there about 3 hours ago, but KK played a simulated game today, and Brad Miller was on the playing third base. So,
I saw that.
Okay, that's a simulated game, but I guess it does indicate that you're probably right. You're probably going to see Miller out there with Carpenter DHing.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see him out there. I just want to see Miller, period. Like I said, there's a newness to tomorrow's lineup that I'm excited to see. You know, and that's and that goes even taking out two of my favorite Cardinals. But are they going to his first start as well and start Thomas somewhere? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have a feeling that the Dean, right, when we were talked about that, about having a right-handed option in there, would make a lot of sense. And, you know, I could see him, but nobody's played in a week, so I really don't know. You know, he hasn't played much at all. So, you know, I don't know. I'm curious to see what the lineup is. But 3 o'clock tomorrow, things could be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, when we did have that conversation, I think we talked about it last week. Mo was hoping that they could get on some sort of consistent run because they had played, you know, a series and had an off day and played two games and played off day. And of course, now they've had this whole thing. So it may take them a little bit of time, but they're going to have that time to get that run together. And hopefully they can, you know, be nice if they could figure out a way to win one of the two games. And hopefully Flaherty pitches on Sunday. And then if you, like you said, you're right. If you win two out of three of that series, I think you feel pretty good about it. You move on.
Yeah. I think that you win the series this week, you feel pretty good about yourself.
Yeah. All right. Well, Alan and I will, you know, the problem is trying to schedule this around when the Cardinals aren't playing anymore. We'll have to see when that is, but we'll definitely have knock on all sorts of wood that nothing happens tomorrow, but we'll definitely have some Cardinal baseball games to talk about next time we get together. So hopefully we're talking about some winning ones as well. So for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate, a swing and a miss, and that's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.